And welcome back to Coast. Couple hours of open lines for you. As I mentioned, our dear friend and great Coast to Coast guest, Stanton Friedman, father of modern-day ufology, suffered a heart attack last week. And here's the latest. He is at home. He is resting. He received two stents. Now, some of you who might not know what a stent is, it's a little spring device that they insert in the blocked artery. So he obviously had at least two blocked arteries, and they put those stents in. And what the stents do is they're on a little spring mechanism. They put it into the artery. It balloons up, and it holds that artery open. It has taken the place of angioplasty. In the old days, they used to try to drill. I still do in some cases, but drill through the artery. And in many cases, the calcium deposits are just too thick, too hard. They could not drill through them. And hence the stent does that. It opens up the artery. So that's remarkable for Stanton, two stents in his arteries. And he will probably, this is at his request, wants to pop in Monday night to say a few words. So we will honor that, obviously. Stanton was my very first interview back in 1971 in Detroit. Very first, I saw a little clipping in the Detroit News newspaper that this ufologist, this nuclear physicist, was going to be speaking at a university, Oakland University, in Oakland County, which is north of Detroit. And I said, like, I got to cover this. I've got to cover this story. So I went to my news director. I'm 21 years old. And I said, hey, I want to go cover this story for us. And he looked at it and said, UFOs? And it's overtime. No. And I went, well, I'm going to go on my own. And he said, fine. And so I did. And I interviewed Stan. I came back. And in those days, folks, we didn't have the computers. We couldn't do digital audio editing. We had to do it all by hand. And so, you know, I'm editing this and you use a little razor blade. Some of you who are in the business, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And a little white pen that's like a little wax pen, like a crayon almost, but it's white. And you're holding these two reels, and you're matching them up, and you hear the sound. And then when you want to edit, you know exactly where that edit point is. You slice it with a razor blade in this little tiny device where you put the quarter-inch tape in. You slice it, and then you slice out the portion you don't want, and then you tape the two together. You put a little piece of tape on it. And there you go. It has. That's how we used to do it in those days. So I came back and edited my Stanton Friedman interview. And they played it a lot over the past week or so. And then I turned it into an hour-long special. I wish somewhere in all my boxes, somewhere, I've got some of these interviews there tucked away. And if I can ever find them, I'll bring some of them back and we'll dump them in and play them once in a while. But anyway, Stanton Friedman will come on Monday. He's at home resting. He lives in Canada, and he had two stents. So I'm going to come back in a moment. Our Independence Day program continues with open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. My gosh, so much going on these days as we click along. Well, I hope you had a great Independence Day. I did a little barbecue today with some friends here in Los Angeles. I've got a different lifestyle than I have in St. Louis. In St. Louis, you know, you got your family there and your house and all that in Los Angeles. It's a different lifestyle. And the different places I pop all around the country, they're different too. But so I did a little barbecuing and it was fun. It's fun to do that. And then, as you well know, the pledge is to come here and work on a holiday if the holiday is on a work day. And we are here. So the next one will be on Labor Day, which is a few months. And then we start moving into the fall. Unbelievable. Thanksgiving, Christmas, we'll be live. I looked at the calendar. We'll be here doing those. But and again, if any of these holidays ever fall on a weekend, our weekend hosts will be live, or I'll get a different weekend host. Simple as that. And let's go to the phones. We've got Richard in Denver. I'll be out there in a couple weeks. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, and nice to talk with you tonight, George. I just wanted to report a UFO sighting tonight at 9:30. We were up on Sheridan. up just in Westminster. I have three other witnesses that saw this. I have them on video, but I left my camera. I ran home. I got it.
You did get it. Super. Can you describe, Richard, what it looked like?
It had three sides. It looked like a diamond shape when my wife pointed it out to me. It started to go in the formation, started spinning. It spun into one, shut itself off, came back on a couple of seconds later, separated itself, turned. As I ran to get to the house, there was a light off into the western side. It looked like it had a light tail on it, dragging it around with it. And as I got home, they thought I was crazy. And I said, I'm going back to get these people's description of this. This wasn't fireworks. It was just right over the mile-high part of Colorado looking south.
Wow. Can you estimate how big it was, Richard?
It was smaller than the Phoenix Lights my wife described after we got home on video. And the people up on the hill that we were standing on Sheridan right there, as you go over to 92nd and 83rd right there, we saw it just as clear as day. And another young man had described that this thing cloaked itself, and I tried to get it on video as he was describing it, and it went off into the east and left the horizon, and we watched the helicopter with green and red lights flash after that. But it was so strange that all these people witnessed the same thing. I want to know if there's other people out there tonight that saw it.
All right, we'll find out, and you do have it on camera.
I've got my wife tried to get it with her cell phone. We're going to try to sort this out tonight. I've got the people describing this, George.
Richard, try to email it to me if you can. Can you sometime in the next day or two?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And like I said, it's just these people's description of it. We were so excited. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
All right. George at coasttocoastam.com. Okay.
George at coasttocoastam.com. Gotcha.
You got it.
And we love you. God bless America. Happy 4th of July out there.
You got it. And what a great 4th this must have been for you. Wow. Hey, you know, we get a lot of calls from people who take incredible pictures and videos of things, whether it's Bigfoot or UFOs and stuff. And sometimes they call into the show and say, hey, I'm going to send this to you. And they don't follow through. So please, if you're going to do that, send it. So I can send it to Lex or Sean, and we get it up on the website, and all of you can take a look at it. First-time caller, Martha in Menifee, California. Happy Independence Day, Martha.
Oh, thank you. Hi. George, I've been trying to get a hold of you for about a year, but I'm 63, and this happened when I was 5.
Ooh, long time ago.
We lived, And we lived out in the country. We had a chicken ranch, and my cousins had come over. My cousin, who was 1 year older than me, we were the youngest. We were taking turns. We were all playing outside in the summer, and we had this egg house, and it had a tin roof that came down about 3 feet from the ground, and there's a little knoll right in front of it. My cousin and I were taking turns riding on a wagon. One would push the other one, you know, and go down the knoll, Well, anyway, it was my turn to ride, and Linda had pulled me up there, and I turned to tell her, go ahead, and I looked underneath this roof, and there was this thing staring at me, and it scared me so much. It had bright red eyes, long kind of white stringy hair, you know, and just staring.
Did it look like an animal or a person?
I couldn't tell. I was only 5, but yeah. I just know it scared me.
And a little 5-year-old imagines things too, right?
Well, it was kind of bent over, you know, so I don't know if it was, you know, stood up or what. But what got me, we ran screaming, you know, and we...
I don't blame you.
Ago. Yeah, but we both remember it, you know, to this day we remember it. But you had a caller that called in, and... he said he was in his 40s, and when he was 19, he said him and his brother were playing billiards. I guess they lived out in the country, and they were playing billiards. And he said his brother had bent over to make a shot, and he looked out at the window behind him, and there was this thing staring at him with bright red eyes and long stringy, and it just, I mean, it scared me because it sounded just like what I had seen. And then he said, and we live on a chicken ranch, and I thought, oh my gosh, that really scared me because we live, you know, I didn't know if this was something that just going around chicken ranches, if it was the same thing, I doubt it, but I don't know what that
do you was. Do you know, Martha, if any of the chickens ended up dying or found dead? Nothing like that, huh?
I don't remember that. I don't remember anything being said, you know, but anyway, it just really bothered me. And then when I heard that one caller, you know, I thought I was the only person, my cousin and I were the only one that had seen it, you know, and then when he described it, it really sent chills.
It brings back those memories, doesn't it? Tom's got a text message for me. What do we got and who's it from? Tom?
George from Jason in South Dakota. He says, happy 4th of July, George.
You too, Jason.
I am so thankful for those in the armed services that make it so we can live in a free country. I was wondering what some of your favorite memories are from when you were in the Navy.
9 years in the Navy, did service at Pensacola. That was officers training, the Pentagon, Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indiana, which is an Army base, but that's where they had us stationed. Okay. And then I went all over the country for various stints. I was in New Orleans and
so favorite stuff memories.
Like, well, I've got one. Okay. It's kind of weird.
You have one in 9 years?
I've got a lot. But, I mean, one of them that always sticks out, we were in New Orleans drilling, you know, me and my entire unit. We never saw combat. We were public information officers, for crying out loud. But, you know, we were military. And my unit, by the way, the month I retired in 1991, my unit got called up to Desert Storm in Saudi Arabia. They worked with General Schwarzkopf there on that base, and they were gone for months. I would have gone, and they came back with ribbons and things. But I'll tell you a funny story. We were drilling in New Orleans. We had a project, and we were all down there. And afterward, a little kid came up to me, smart little kid, and he says, I want to bet you $5. And I said, for what? And I'm there with all my Navy guys, and he says, I bet you $5 I know where you got those shoes. And I said, I can barely remember. I'm saying this to myself. I could barely remember where I got these shoes. How's this kid going to tell me that? This is a sure thing. And I said, $5? Hey, kid, I don't want to take your money. He says, no, sir, $5 bet, please. And I said, okay. So he pulls out $5, and he said, now, where's your $5? So I pulled it out of my wallet. And he says, now you give it to your buddy. I trust him. If I win, he's going to give it to me. He's going to give me your $5. And if I lose, he'll give you my $5. And I said, all right. So he said, you ready? I'm going to tell you where you got those shoes. And I said, all right. And he said, all you guys are going to vouch for me. And they all said, yep, we will. He's just a little squirt kid. And he says, you got those shoes on Bourbon Street right now. And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? I've been rooked.
You paid him, right?
But the guy said, you owe him the money. And so they gave him the $5. He was right.
Did you ever get in trouble? Like, I don't know,
as a kid?
No. When you were in the service, like maybe your hat wasn't on right or something.
I was an officer.
When you guys line up.
When we drilled in Pensacola by tough Marines, you remember the movie Officer and a Gentleman?
Yes.
Well, you know, those guys weren't commissioned officers at the time. We were. So we're drilling, and it was these tough Marines going, sir, you're not standing right, sir. But those same Marines, when they were drilling with enlisted and people like that, screamed at these people. I mean, screamed at them. You remember that scene from Officer and a Gentleman where he kept telling Richard Gere, I think his name was Mayo or something, that's what they called him, to quit?
Yeah.
In Richard Gere just broke down and said, I's got no place else to go, and he starts crying and stuff like that. That's how they treated the enlisted, but in terms of officers.
Not you.
No.
So if you weren't standing upright, would anyone ever said anything to you or just no because you're an officer?
They would have been polite about it, you know, sir. But anyways, that was it.
Sounds fun.
All right. Thanks. Let's go on to other calls. We go to Donald in Birmingham, Alabama on the wild card line. Hey, Donald, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Morning, George. I'm glad you had a happy Independence Day.
Yeah, and I hope you get
service.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call. I know y'all have been getting a lot of recent UFO reports, but I've got one from the spring of 1999. I was 8 years old, and I was standing out in my front yard on a Thursday night, and there was an orange fireball that crossed right over my head, headed towards this ridge that the town I was living in at the time was in, like this valley between two ridges. It went right over my head, headed for one of these ridges. And all I could tell was it was this orange fireball, went for this ridge, disappeared, and then it looked like it exploded. And
let me tell you what I think that was, because I just came back from the International Remote Viewing Association conference, and a guy came up to me, and he'll probably end up being a guest on the show. He's an expert in ball lightning, and he described exactly what you have gone through, Donald. He said it, you know, it's a big ball. It looks like a light. It looks like plasma. It blows up. It's amazing what it can do. It can go through glass, he said. Probably not walls, but it could go through glass. I bet that's what you had.
Well, I didn't think of that. Now I feel kind of dumb, but
don't feel dumb. I mean, this really happens to people.
I just never had an explanation for it, and I thought I'd, you know, bring it up. So
okay, and if you got hit by it, you could get severely burned by it. I mean, this is like a ball of lightning that boosh hits you. Anyways, I think I'll get him on because that would be a great show. We've got Jim in Chicago. Hey, Jim, welcome. Happy Independence Day.
Hey, thanks, George. Real quick, I just wanted to comment about Stanton's condition.
Sure, yeah.
My mom had a heart attack last year, and it almost took her out. She's 77, but they put 4 stents in her. And right now, she's jogging with her headphones on.
Oh, that's great. And she's taking her medication, because you have to do that for about a year to make sure, you know.
Something for blood pressure or cholesterol or maybe both.
And thinning. You have to thin the blood, too.
Right, right. But she's, like I said, she's jogging, she's on the treadmill, and she's still hassling me about getting a haircut and shaving.
How old is she?
She's 77.
Oh, good for her.
And so Stanton's going to be fine.
You know, as soon as I found out they were stents that he needed, I said, you know what, he's got a better chance of surviving.
You know, they could do all kinds of stuff nowadays.
Yep, they sure can. I feel sorry for people who had heart issues in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Remember Bobby Darin, he died. He was 37 years old. They might have been able to save them or at least prolonged their life. They do incredible things. I mean, I've got a great doctor here in Los Angeles, and he is by the numbers. So you go in every year, you get this extensive blood test. I mean, this one is extensive. It's through the Berkeley Labs, I think. And he comes back and he tells you everything that's right, everything that's wrong, what you need to do, and he just goes right by the numbers. Cholesterol's great here. This is not good. Do this. You're low on vitamin D, and he just pushes and pushes and pushes. I mean, it's a science. Anyway, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We've got more open lines for you throughout the night, so don't touch your dial. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and we've got open lines for you. We'll do it again next hour as well. I was looking at some old YouTube clips of Jimmy Durante. Don't ask me why. And we've played some of his clips as bumper music, right? I'll be seeing you and things like that. If you can get through tonight, I've got to ask you this one question. Do you think a guy like that could make it on television today? I've told people no. There's just no way. I mean, he was in his late 50s, 60s, you know, doing his thing. I don't think that would succeed today. I think the world has changed. He should succeed. I mean, he's a great performer. But if you can get through, I want your comments on that. Every line is lit right now, so keep trying. Let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Michelle in Wisconsin to get things going here. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I'd like to say I really enjoyed the program last night. Way to go, George. I like the way you handled him. I thought that he was somebody who was playing with things that were sacred, and to change the subject rather than dwell on the negative. I'd really like it. I haven't heard anything about Red Elk. That was a guest you had on the show.
Oh, gosh, he started with Art, and I had him on a couple times. We have to revisit that. It's been years.
Well, what's happened to him? Do you know anything?
I don't know.
Because he had a real positive spirit for
us. We'll check that out. You know, I had another guest. Somebody sent me an email, Michelle, last week. Do you remember a guest, Kathleen Keating? She was very good about prophecy and predictions and spirituality. I think she's...
Well, Red Elk had such a lighthearted approach to it. And
yeah. I don't even know if he's still alive. That's what I'd have to be.
Throwing their energy around and stuff. I'm hoping he's still alive. And maybe everybody out there who's heard him, who got inspiration off him, could send him some positive energy.
Yeah, we'll check. And I know Kathleen Keating, I'm told, has passed on. And nobody ever really notified us. I mean, when those things happen, we get told. And so we did a little... check on the internet. We called old numbers. Nothing worked. I don't know what happened to her. She was a great guest, too. Let's go next to Fred in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Fred, hello there.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning to you, Freddie.
How's you doing, sir? George, I love your show. Love the concept. I've been coast-to-coast listener practically all my adult life.
Thank you, sir.
When I was in the military, I used to listen to you. In California. Just wanted to let you know I set my clock radio. Come on when your show comes on. And
I love it.
I'd say at least 3/4 of your subjects I'm pretty familiar with, like the spirits. And I had a UFO incident, which I'm calling about tonight.
All right, what happened?
It was way back in 1976. I was a young man, and I was with about 4 or 5 of my buddies. We were standing, in the neighborhood there on the block, and it was Independence Day, 76. We were watching the Goodyear blimp, so somebody can verify that the Goodyear blimp was in Chicago in 76. And, we were watching the blimp go by. All of a sudden, we see a light go by.
Yeah.
Maybe a few hundred feet above the blimp, and it was like, sonic boom? But I've been around a lot of airports in my life. I never heard a sonic boom that boomed 3 times in a row, like boom, boom, boom.
No, and you sure, in Independence Day, you got to ask you sure it wasn't like a grand finale of some fireworks display?
No, it wasn't. I guarantee it wasn't any type of fireworks, because it was close to midnight. I'm pretty sure everybody shot everything.
Yeah, they're gone by that time. At least the city stopped by then.
It was passing from east to west, not too far from Midway Airport in Chicago. I'd say maybe 4 or 5 miles from there. And, I was pretty used to air traffic, and I know about red light on one wing and green light on the other one. Well, this craft, it was all white running lights, I guess you would call it. Went by super fast. We barely seen it, but we heard the sonic boom. That's what everybody remembered.
That is fascinating.
Right. And, I've been carrying this with me my whole life. And one of my buddies that witnesses, he passed on, but there's still like 3 of us left. They pretty much don't remember it, but I remember.
You won't forget.
Yes, sir. I had a few other incidents, but I won't take up too much time. I had ran across... some type of demon, I would guess, with day glow eyes. I want to, maybe one of your listeners know about something like that too. I hear a lot of it mentioned that they have red eyes, but this one, it had day glow. They go green like the night sticks.
Stay away from those things, Fred.
Oh yes, sir. I was doing pretty bad things at the time, so I think that was pretty much a warning. But basically, my life is pretty normal except for what I call deja vu dreams, where
I still have
remember something.
Yeah, I have a lot of.
Yeah, I tried to call. You had one guest on maybe a month ago. I tried to get through because I wanted to you know, ask him a few questions. But
well, you keep listening.
It's pretty interesting life, though, and I love your show again. You are truly a great American because you do something that's not easy to do.
All right, Fred, thanks. Hey, what we want is the fun. We want the fun, the truth, and you name it, we will do it for you. Let's go to Lori now, west of the Rockies in Norco, California. Hello, Lori. Thanks for calling.
My name is Gloria, but that's okay.
Gloria or Lori?
Gloria.
Oh, hi, Gloria.
What I was calling about is, it was back in about 81. I was down in Guaymas, Mexico, and I was out on a raft, and I'm notorious for making animal sounds. Well, I was out there on this.
Well, you know you're not going to get away tonight without making some.
Okay, well, I'm pretty good at peacock, and anyway, I was out on this raft, and all of a sudden, the water around me started churning, and I saw, like, shark fins, and I wasn't a very good swimmer, and all of a sudden, a dolphin stuck his head out.
Oh, I love those.
And he squeaked, and I squeaked, and he squeaked, and I squeaked, and we probably did this for 5 minutes, and then two other dolphins stuck their heads up and started squeaking. And I don't know what I was saying, but obviously I was giving him a good conversation.
They obviously were intrigued with what you were saying.
Yes. I hope it wasn't rude.
It must have been something nice like, hey, come on over for dinner. You know,
Well, anyway, I was also in on my honeymoon in at Waimea Falls in Hawaii.
Oh, sure. I know the area.
And anyway, you know, the place has a bunch of peacocks around there. And I said to my husband, I said, you want me to get those peacocks to display? And he says, what do you mean? I says, well, I can get them to flip their tails up. And he says, oh, well, you can't. And so I gave out my famous
peacock sound.
Peacock call, you know, help.
All right, give me that sound. How do you sound like a peacock?
Help, help, help.
You do sound like a peacock. I remember that from the St. Louis Zoo.
Well, anyway, I did that. And, of course, you know, in Hawaii, there's always a bunch of Japanese tourists around. Well, I made about three of those yelps, and they all slipped their tails open, and it was like that the Super Bowl. Everybody was taking pictures of the peacock.
I love it.
I really enjoy your show. My mother, who has passed, she lived to be 95. She listened to you every night until she died in 2005. I can't remember when we first started listening to Coast to Coast, but it's a wonderful piece of what do I want to say?
It's a part of our life. That's what it is, Gloria. Thanks. Hey, by the way, when you call in for Tom, they're building us a brand new studio, so we're in another studio. And so make sure you really talk loudly when you call in and tell them exactly who you are. Lori sounded like Gloria to him with that phone thing. So let's go to Tom. There you go. So the little instructions. You want people really to speak up.
Yeah, really enunciate because they're building us this new studio and this phone in here is like from the Flintstone age. It's just
the phone probably has... The what do they call that? The thing where that rolls around?
Yeah, where it rotates. It
the rotating phone.
Yeah. So why is it so funny, though, when you make people make animal sounds? It's hilarious.
It is. Oh. She sounded like a peacock.
She did. I agree.
I can do a water dripping from a faucet.
Okay, do it.
Ready?
Yeah, go.
All right. And you tell me if it's real or not, if it sounds real. Here we go. Water dripping from a faucet. Sound effect.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I don't know how it ties in with animal sounds, but
well, no, but that sounds like water dripping from a faucet.
Which I guess animals have to drink, so.
Can you do a sound effect?
Yeah, I can.
What do you do?
Well, if I want you to stop talking for some reason, I'll go.
That's what you do at events.
Yeah, so people will
when
stop.
When you try to get the panel members to be quiet.
Exactly.
But you wanted to do... with one of those bellhop things.
We'll do a bell someday. It'll be fun.
Anyways, what's our text?
So from Myra in Virginia. Hey, George, great soundbite from Independence Day. I was curious as to your thoughts on the Hollywood of today versus the Hollywood of yesterday.
Oh, you know, interest that that's kind of, and let me ask you this, Tom, don't run away. Okay. It's kind of like my Jimmy Durante question to people. I think in the old Hollywood days, you had John Wayne and all these people doing these old Civil War movies and cowboys and Indian movies and stuff like that. None of those would work today. None of those would work.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think they would.
I mean, now movies are, you know, high technology, activated primarily to a younger crowd. But, you know, romantic vampires and stuff like that.
The younger people don't appreciate the good stuff. I see Hollywood like in three tiers. You had your Sinatras, your Olivia de Havillands, your Jimmy Stewarts, D. Martins. Then there's another tier like your Cruises, your De Niro's, your Pacino's, Hoffman's, Dustin Hoffman. Then, like, now you've got, like, Lindsay Lohan's, your Paris Hilton's, and it's just not the same.
That's different.
Yeah.
And my question, of course, to everybody was, would Jimmy Durante succeed today? And I say no.
Yeah, I think most people are going to agree with you. However, I think actually he would if he got the right agent and the right person to market to the right people. I mean, there are still, like in Los Angeles, I know somewhere on the dial there's like a big band station still. And, you know, who listens to that anymore?
Well, one of the top shows in the early days was What's My Line.
Right.
And every panelist would not make it on as panelists now. When you look at the panelists on American Idol and The Voice and, and things like that. You know, they're all different younger people.
Completely different.
The other folks, I mean, the Jack Bennies and the Bing Crosbys, those guys wouldn't make it today.
No, I think you're probably right. Before I go, what's your favorite game show? Like old, new, anything?
You mean an old one?
Or new.
There was an old one that they used to play called Camouflage. And a picture had to appear when you picked the right thing. Then you had to guess what it was. That's an old one.
That was a TV show?
Yeah.
I have to look that up.
It was a game show.
Look up Match Game 76.
What's that about?
It's great. They'd ask a question, and the panelists had to match the answer to the guest. But you have to see the host. His name was Gene Rayburn.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him.
Phenomenal. Before. Very funny.
Yeah, he was good. Okay, back to the phones. Bye. Next up, let's see who's been on hold the longest. Looks like Tom in Washington State. Welcome to the program. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Good evening, George, and a happy 4th of July.
You too.
George, look, I want to direct this to Malaysia Flight MD-370.
All right.
Look, there's been a lot of talk about the pilot, the co-pilot, the cabin crew, all the passengers and hijacking this plane. I'd like to offer a different scenario, a hijacker, a stowaway hijacker that hid out in the electronics bay of the plane. Now,
how did he get in there?
Okay, look, if you're dealing with these third world countries, I think it would be very easy to secret himself in while the plane is on the tarmac or in the hangar with no witnesses.
Sure. Or somebody was part of it on the, you know, like on the ground crew and got him in.
Well, that's the point. You see, I talked to someone, an acquaintance that works at Boeing. I ran this scenario by him, and he says it's very possible because one of the 370 is one of the easiest planes to learn how to take and fly. And if you're in the electronics bay, you can disable everything in the flight cabin and fly the plane from there.
Wow. Okay, so let's look at your scenario, Tom. He gets in there. He's in that area, the electronic area. What does he do?
Well, first of all, he can turn off all the comm equipment to communicate with the ground. He can turn off the transponders. He can take control of the flight deck and fly the plane wherever he would like.
I guess he could suffocate all the passengers, couldn't he?
Exactly. He has control of the environmental systems.
What does he want? Does he want the plane?
Well, before we get to that, I would like to offer a a line of investigation, and that is no one has suggested, no one had, that I've ever heard of has suggested about a hijacker that was a stowaway. You have to look at people that would know and have access to that kind of plane where they could learn to take and fly it. Perhaps, like you say, he did work on for an airlines, and you go back and look at the time cards, the time sheets. There are only so many pilots worldwide or people worldwide that are trained on that plane.
That's true.
And see who is missing. Who worldwide is missing from a list of people that could fly that plane?
Got to assume they've done that already, Tom.
You know, George, I would not make that assumption. That's a big assumption that they've checked. Now, you got to think, now, it was hijacked in Malaysia, but the pilot or the commandeer, the hijacker could come from some other country.
Okay, but does he take the plane to keep the plane, or does he want to crash it into the ocean?
Well, I think once you take and find out if there is someone missing that could find that plane and you track him down, you could find out what his intention was for anyone else to take and say what his agenda was or his motive. That's unknown.
I mean, there's no doubt that something happened on that plane in terms of taking it originally, whether it was for a hijacking or a landing or something. They wanted that plane. The question is, where is it? More open lines when I come back.